What tools can I use to detach and heal from a narcissist? So healing is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. And what I hope survivors know is that each journey is unique and different, depending on the survivor and his or her circumstances, how resilient they are, what kind of resources they have, what kind of support network they have or are willing to build. And that's why the tools one survivor needs may not be the same tools another survivor needs. However, I've created a list of 11 steps in my book regarding what most survivors usually take on the road to recovery from this specific type of abuse. And so we can talk more about that later. But detaching and healing from the narcissist begins when we begin to arm ourselves with more knowledge about narcissistic abuse and antisocial personalities. That way, even if we stay and prolong the relationship, the more we educate ourselves, the more knowledge we'll have to stay centered and in control when encountering tactics like projection and gaslighting. We'll be more likely to understand that this is the person with the problem, that we're not the ones with the problem. And ultimately, what will hopefully happen is once we start learning more about this type of abuse, the red flags and the techniques, and really understand and become well versed in the vocabulary about this abuse, is that we'll find this type of toxic relationship unsustainable because of the knowledge we now have. In order to begin to heal from this type of relationship after it ends, I recommend at least 90 days of no contact or low contact if you're in circumstances where it's impossible to sever all ties with the narcissist, such as the case of having children with them. And this is the same amount of time, you know, recommended for drug addicts in rehab. Our addiction, again, to our narcissistic partner is like a drug addiction. And while we may have many relapses, once we know that our partner is a narcissist, there's really no going back. Of course, our ideal outcome is no contact for a lifetime. And, you know, survivors can benefit from a variety of different healing modalities, both traditional and alternative, which can include therapy with a professional trained in narcissistic abuse, or at the very least, emotional abuse and verbal abuse. I always recommend meditation for abuse survivors because it really does center you. It really changes your brain's neural networks, and it can really help you lead a more balanced life where you're not as judgmental towards yourself. You develop a sense of compassion towards yourself. I recommend yoga. I personally, for me, Bikram yoga has really helped me, especially in terms of resilience. And it can really cultivate a sense of resilience and a can-do attitude that will really help you through the process of no contact. Writing and journaling is a great way to center yourself and rewrite the narrative of the abusive relationship into something that is, you know, a resilience narrative rather than a victim narrative. Joining online and offline support groups can really help, especially if you don't have a very supportive network outside where your friends and family members may not have understood the extent to which you were abused. And, you know, many people don't understand this type of covert abuse yet. So it's really important that we join groups where we can interact and talk with other survivors. And, you know, we can really feel that kind of validation from people who've actually been there. And survivors can also try other alternative forms of healing, like Reiki healing, positive affirmations, especially helpful for, you know, subconscious programming and reprogramming of our old narratives, which are really sabotaging us. They might try different types of acupuncture, aromatherapy, emotional freedom techniques, EDMR therapy, NLP. You know, these all tackle the wounds that originate in early childhood trauma, as well as the narratives that the narcissist has fed to us that have made us feel as if we're not very valuable. And so these types of techniques help us to reprogram what the narcissist has told us and programmed us to believe, and, you know, really help with our self-esteem after this type of abuse. So my recommendation is find a combination of these methods that work for you and make you feel emotionally safe. Not all methods will work for everybody, but again, I have these 11 steps in my upcoming book, which I'll describe more fully in my book. And those are the 11 universal steps that all of you survivors can take on the road to healing. I recommend having a coach, a validating counselor trained in this type of abuse to help you talk through the transition. And I recommend sharing your story with at least one other survivor who's been there. This can be a very validating, empowering, and healing experience. You know, most of my readers, many of my readers, began their own YouTube channels, their own blogs. They wrote their own books on narcissistic abuse, and that's helped them heal tremendously. It can be very cathartic to talk about our experiences in a way that raises awareness at the same time, and it channels, you know, our experience into a greater purpose. And, that's what I did as well, and I can say it's been one of the most rewarding parts of my journey, helping other survivors to heal. Regaining your voice after this type of abuse and, you know, raising awareness for a cause that's so near and dear to your heart after you've experienced it can be incredibly healing and cathartic. And it allows us to transform our experiences into portals of healing for other survivors. So it's my hope that all abuse survivors eventually are able to leave their abusive relationship. But part of my work is also to expose how difficult it is to extricate yourself from this type of relationship. So what's really important is to balance self-compassion and self-care with self-love at this time. You may have to break this down, the process of detachment down, into smaller steps before you take that final big step.